God, we are grateful to be in this place, to seek you, Father, to listen as you speak through your word about how we should live, to be honoring to you, to be profitable for you and your kingdom. That is why we are here. Father, help us to never lose sight of the goal that we have, to stand before you one day and to worship you in fullness, Father. We have many requests. I imagine a lot are unspoken. We're grateful that Carol is back from her travels safely. We're grateful, Father, that you saw fit to take care of our sister Dorothy and provide the means of stabilizing her heart. We're grateful that Helen's here. I haven't seen her for a couple of weeks, and I'm just grateful that she is with us. I pray that you go before her. She has her test done. That you would have the outcome of that test that will most glorify you. Sometimes that's not the easiest thing for us to ask, but we know fully that your way, your will, the outcome that you have prepared for her will bring you honor and will bring you glory. I just pray for strength, pray for her confidence, that she not lose heart. Strengthen her, Father, I pray. We think of the time of ministry that we're going to have with the men at the Christian Care Center, and I pray, Father, you go before, even now, you go before us and prepare us, whether it's serving, speaking, whatever it is, Father. We want your name to be magnified in all that we do. And I pray that you would prepare the way for us. We rejoice in the birth of this little one to Erica, Tom and Beretta. I pray that you would just help us to rejoice with them, Father, in this new life that you have given them. I pray that through their witness, through their testimony, through their lives, that Erica would see what you're about. Our job doesn't stop when we have our kids. There is so much that we can teach them, so much we can pray for in their lives, like others have done for us. Pray for Joe and Donna, and I pray for their health. I pray for a time of rest. Pray for Chris and Jeff and Marilyn, Father, and just continue to work in their bodies, in their lives, the ministry that they have. Father, you are so great, so gracious to us in all that you do. And you give us a glimpse of your mercy and your grace each and every day. I just pray that we don't miss it, that we remember how far we have come by your hand, and we don't miss it. Father, I pray for today's lesson that you would be in it completely, that as we read your word, it would come alive to us. There's so much that you have in your word that we could, in a lifetime of two or three, not exhaust, the things that you have for us. I pray that as we approach your word, that your spirit gives us understanding. We are so grateful that you are a God, that you love us the way you do, that you show us each day your mercy, your kindness, your grace. I pray nothing be taught here today that is contrary to that, but that you would receive all honor and glory as we pursue you. We give you our praise and our thanks for this time and ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. What have we been talking about? Wisdom. By the time we're done, you're going to know everything you need to know about wisdom. Now, how you apply that is another story. Today, we're going to spend the majority of our time in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. So, take time now. Find it. Again, it's Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. So I'll give you a moment. Last week, we talked about Satan's deception and Eve's willingness to buy into it. Satan deceived Eve into believing disobedience was the path to wisdom. What did Eve do that was so horrendous? She disobeyed. What had God said? From every tree of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of that, which was, I think, a forerunner of what God expected them to do, to be very frank, but that's my conjecture. The day you eat of that, you shall surely die. So Eve's hanging out in the garden. Adam's obviously not too far away. And the serpent comes up and starts talking, okay? Obviously not a big deal. Animals must have had the capability. Serpent came up to Eve and said, in essence, has God really said what he said? And Eve replied and said, yeah. He said, if we eat it, if we touch it, we'll surely die. And the serpent, Satan, embodying the serpent, said, you surely won't die. Because God knows on the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. So she ate. She saw it was pretty. She saw it was good for food. And it would make one wise. So she ate of it, handed it to her husband. He ate of it. And here we are. Okay? I hope we never, ever, ever forget what happened in the garden as we walk, because it cost our Savior his life to buy us back because of our disobedience. We inherited that sin. The passage we're going to spend time on today is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Please read along with me. I'm just going to go right through it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. I want you to think about the promises that are made here by God to us as I read this. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all produce, so your barns will be filled and with plenty, and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father to the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Underline that. Nothing you desire compares to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. Underline that. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. How many of you have read that in the past? You've heard pieces of it, at least. That part where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. All of them. Oh, that's the promise. There's a lot here. As a son or a father to a son, as a mother to a daughter, the exhortation here is, do not forget my teaching. What was Eve's sin? What was Adam's sin? They chose to do what was right in their own eyes. Do you not believe for a moment in time that they were instructed? That God Almighty, as he walked in the garden, had a conversation with them. Okay, we're reading it. We're reading it. So we know that God made this sin thing aware to them. Did he call it sin? He called it disobedience. Okay? Which is the thing that we did as a human race. We decided to do things our own way. But let your heart keep my commandments. Listen to the promise. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. They gave me several years to live. I'm still here. And it's not because I'm pretty. It's not because my wisdom is greater than yours. It's because of the grace of Almighty God. Keeping his promise. Think about how many promises God has kept for you. You really can't read this portion of Scripture and not be stirred by it. Because God is saying, this is what you get when you obey me. The adverse is just as stark. Things will happen that you won't like when you disobey me. Adam and Eve had a perfect existence with God on this planet before they disobeyed. Now, this may sound like third grade Sunday school stuff, but ladies and gentlemen, it is our nature to disobey because of what Adam did. The moment we think that we are too great, too wise, that we don't need what is written, we are destined to do exactly what Eve did, to conject in our own minds that, yeah, good looking, it's good for food, and it'll make one wise. We all battle this. He continues, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God. You want to know how to please God? Obey him. You will find favor. It says right here, favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You know anybody that's really, really wise? They're not highly esteemed. They're not. People want flash. They want what the people of Israel wanted. They want a king just like everybody else. They wanted somebody tall, dark-haired, good-looking, and look what they got. Look what they got. Solomon is the contrast to that. What do we know about Solomon? You can have anything you want. Says, this is my paraphrase. You can have anything you want, just ask for it. And he thought about it. He saw his position. He says, give me your wisdom. I don't have it. I don't have enough in me to lead this people. Give me your wisdom. And you know what God did? He did not only make him the wisest man on the earth, but he did exactly what this passage of Scripture says. He gave him everything his heart desired. And then he blessed him with riches. He esteemed him. He lifted him up. So people would see that what you desire first affects the outcome later. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Those are imperatives. They're commands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do this, and it will be well for you. Lean not on your own understanding, like Eve and Adam did, thinking that the way to be wise was to be disobedient to a holy God that said, don't do it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I have a hard time with this. I struggle with this because I find myself caving in at times to what the world expects of me. In all my ways, not some of them, all of them, in all my ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's a command. Okay? Simple. In all my ways, in everything that I do, whether it's at work, it doesn't matter. It's all my ways. Acknowledge him. And what's the promise? He will direct. Okay? He's promised that. He will direct your path. Not just one path, but all the things that you do. We all have different things that we do. We all have different ministries to perform. Not just one. We're commanded to love. We're also commanded to serve. All my ways acknowledge him, and he will make my paths. Do you like crooked paths? Do you like crooked paths? Do you know what a crooked path is? Yeah, he uses imagery here that we can understand. Okay? My family and I, on a vacation, went to Branson, Missouri. You guys know. 44, Highway 44 runs down. Okay? Lindsay was not quite a teenager yet. Jared, of course, was younger, even still. You get on Highway 44 going to Branson, Missouri, it does one of these. Like this. Not anymore? It was a two-lane that we were on. Oh, man. Oh, don't ever want to do that again. Lindsay got sick, and she was in the front seat. She was motion sick because we were doing this. Okay? Now, they got a new highway. Does it do this? What does it do? There's a path that you take, and it's straight. The difference is a child getting sick here. This is real for me because I can still smell it. Okay? I was cleaning it up for a while afterwards. It's just one small, tiny example of the difference between a straight path and those that aren't. They also take more time and energy to traverse, okay? Straight path is smooth, flat, ready to go. Crooked path, a little bit different. It's not hard for us to understand. God didn't lay this out in a way that we couldn't understand what he was saying. Just be obedient. Do what I say, and it will go well for you. Be disobedient, and things will be more difficult. I wish it were rocket science. I wish it were, you know, some engineering feat that we couldn't understand, maybe for Gary. I'm sorry. It's not hard. He continues. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, nor loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. He corrects. Put you back on the right path, the straight path. Even as a father in the son whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. When we started this discourse several weeks ago, I told you that wisdom and understanding are virtually the same thing. The definition for wisdom is knowing what to do and then doing it. We know what to do. We've not been left alone so that we don't have understanding. God has given us his word, written by his Spirit through men of God, so that we wouldn't be out there guessing about what to do and how to live and what pleases him. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. Wonder why God said she when he relates to wisdom. She, the scripture says, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. I don't think our God makes mistakes. I believe every jot and tittle is written for a purpose, for our instruction and understanding. Period. Why do you believe that? Let's speculate for a moment. Why do you believe wisdom is a she? I was hoping someone would add some levity to that. Women are natural. Do you believe that, guys? I got four of us in here. Come on. Do you believe that? Okay, so you're not going to say anything, are you? Well. You could go there if you wanted to. I think it's go back to Genesis, okay? Let's go to Genesis 3. And there's a passage of scripture that I think we need to look at. Genesis 3. In the judgments, when man fell, there were judgments for both the man and the woman. Do you remember what they were? We know about the serpent's judgment. He gets to crawl on the ground and eat dirt the rest of his life. Obviously, he stood upright or had legs or something. That's no longer the case. He was judged. Okay? What do we know about the judgment for the man and for the woman? Yeah? Let's not stop there, though. Yeah, okay. Stop it. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Continuing, cursed is the ground because of you. We talk about creation, groaning in Romans, in futility. This is part of the fall of man. Creation was subjected to the fall as well. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall grow for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. Don't miss this. The Lord God made, okay, I missed it. There is a passage here where there is a promise given. I don't want to miss it. Where it talks about because of what the woman endured, there was a promise given. About life, and I thought it was here. mother of all the living, and God made garments of skin. Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. Because it goes right into Cain and Abel. Maybe I need to go back. There's a precept here that I'm obviously missing about the woman and her ability to bear children and give life. God given, okay, as part of this. Yes, there is judgment, but from that, we procreate. We grow as human beings on this planet. We go forth. We multiply. And it is a gift. All I have to do is look at my grandchildren or my children and think about how gracious God is, even with all of the sin that we endure and struggle with, God's grace comes through. And I will find the passage I'm looking for and I'll bring it back to you. Because there are promises given regarding that. And I wasn't part of the lesson plan, so I didn't look it up. But I don't think it's a mistake that we call wisdom a she. Women give life. Men can't do that. I mean, it's a combined effort. I'm not being flip. But that's special, the ability to give life. It's God-given, and it was to the woman. If you look, you see the relationship. Now she's in subjection to her husband because of her disobedience. But I don't think there's a person in this room that can say that's a bad thing. God established this union for a purpose so that we wouldn't be on our own. Do you understand what I'm getting at? No? Okay. Then, yeah. I agree. By the sweat of his brow. Sure. We men don't understand women. And I'm sure that the ladies can attest that they don't always understand us. Okay? And I think there was harmony that we haven't seen in the garden that we'll get back to one day. But for here and now, because of the judgment that God made, he set up the hierarchy that the woman would be in subjection to her husband and he would work like a dog all the days of his life. And that's, again, my paraphrase. I don't think it needed to be that way, but because of disobedience, this is what we're left with. And even in that, look at God's grace and how it works. I talked about life. Men, we have no concept. None. I joke around and say, you know, kidney stones. It's the closest thing to childbirth. And the ladies will look at me and say, oh, no. It's not. Not even close. To be the vessel of a human being. Think about it. You get to bear children. And do you remember the pain? I mean, seriously? I was with my wife. She broke two of my fingers. I'm teasing. She squeezed. It was difficult, and there was some screaming and agony. And when it was done, you got the baby. And the pain, and stop me if I'm incorrect, the pain seemed to diminish rapidly because you had that life in your hands. It is no different than what we, I'm sorry? And that, yeah, well, I'm done. Okay? So she. It just, I don't think it's an accident that God calls wisdom a she. Because I think we gain a great deal from our wives in wisdom. If you're married and you have a relatively good relationship, you know, listen, I have learned more about what I cannot do on my own and what I need my wife for in the past decade than I would have ever considered before. We were not meant to do this alone, gentlemen. And it's because I think women bring not only a different perspective, but a wisdom that, you know, guys with the clubs going out and killing the beast for dinner just really don't get. Look, yes, Eve sinned. She disobeyed God directly. But look at what Adam did. Duh. Yeah, give me some of that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We sit here and we chuckle about it, but the reality of it is, Adam, if he'd have manned up, we wouldn't be here. Might be a whole different game. We might have had a whole lot of fallen women and a whole lot of holy men. And it, sooner or later, it would have been a problem. You know, if that's the case, then look at the scripture and look at what it says. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Nothing. Nothing. And nothing you desire. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. Don't miss that. We go back to the garden. There were a lot of trees. Obviously, there was one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's talk about a tree of life for a moment. Okay? What does that suggest to you? I mean, seriously, a tree of life? Wisdom is a tree of life. It's not the tree of life, but I don't think God made a mistake here correlating that with what happened in the garden. Okay? And what's expected of us to pursue this kind of wisdom? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all of those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. I mean, if you read this closely, you'll have to do it several times. Because there's so much in this 20 verses of scripture that relates to our condition, that relates to our position, that relates to how we should live and move and walk as we understand or pursue God here. From a study, I've got six things I want you to write down that you can take and look at on your own. From a study of the text, several truths are self-evident and serve as a most helpful commentary on this passage of Genesis and the fall of man. First, we are urged to desire wisdom as something of the highest value. That's in verses 13 through 18. Divine wisdom is to be greatly desired. Satan turned Eve's desire in the opposite direction. to which, to that which would lead her from wisdom to folly, from and from life to death. Number two, we are told that divine wisdom is evident in creation. Look outside and imagine that you're in control of the things that are going on right this second. Okay? The clouds in the sky, the sun, the air that we breathe, everything. We're told that divine wisdom is evident in creation. Problem is, we don't look for it. We don't see it because so many other things take our gaze away from what God has made. And that is evident in verses 19 and 20. Adam and Eve had all creation before them to teach them of God's wisdom. God was not withholding any of his wisdom from them, but displaying it before them, everything that was made. Thirdly, wisdom does not balk at discipline. Wisdom does not balk at discipline, but recognizes it is evident of the love of God in verses 11 and 12. Eve was led to believe exactly the opposite. Satan suggested God withheld the forbidden fruit because he was selfish and unloving. Because the day of you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Fourth, wisdom is the result of obedience in verses 1 and 2. Satan convinced Eve that wisdom would result from her disobedience. Has God truly said that you shall not eat of all the trees in the garden? Satan convinced Eve that wisdom would result for good from her disobedience. Fifth, to have true wisdom, we must cease trusting in ourselves and our own assessment of what is good and trust in God's wisdom and his commands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In everything you do, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Number six, we should see that wisdom is a tree of life. Verse 2 and verse 18. I do not think this image of a tree of life is haphazard. Eating of the tree of life was the way to wisdom. It was desirous to what? To make one wise. Which is why Satan sought to change the focus of Eve's attention and desire from this tree to the forbidden tree. You know, Joe asked me a question last week. You know, how did Adam and Eve live as long as they did? It's a simple question. Even after they fell, man lived 900 years, 800 years, 700 years. Think about that. I'm 55. Can you imagine another 600, 700 years like this? It's by grace, okay? That we die and are able to go home. It's grace, because who could stand it for this length of time? And in talking to Gary, we saw the decline in age of men, you know, in the Old Testament. From 969 years with Methuselah to now, you know, 70 average, 80 for women. And that's because of drugs and all kinds of other medications that we take to keep us pumping and going. I'm running out of time. I should stop. There's more. We'll pick it up next week. Father God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this passage in Proverbs that shows us how gracious you are. It shows us what is right and what we should do, and shows us what not to do. Help us desire wisdom, Father, more than anything else. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, for the understanding you have that we don't. And we give you our praise and our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. My apologies for running over.